Well, good morning, Angie Burrows. Go ahead and do our intro.
Well, good morning, everybody. This morning I just wanted to give you a few facts about St. Paul's Cathedral. I know you'll be visiting there also. St. Paul's Cathedral is a Church of England cathedral, and it sits at the top of Ludgate Hill, which is the highest point in the City of London. After Lord Nelson died in the Battle of Trafalgar on October 21, 1804, he was buried there in the centre of the crypt, directly beneath the crossing and the dome. In 1913, suffragettes, in an attempt to bring attention to their cause, planted a bomb under the bishop's throne in the cathedral, but luckily it was defused before it exploded. Sir Winston Churchill's funeral was at St. Paul's Cathedral on the 30th of January 1965, and it was the first funeral to be broadcast to the nation on both radio and television. Prince Charles of Wales married Lady Diana Spencer on the 2nd of July 1981 there, after which St. Paul's became one of the most visited churches in England. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker today. Cindy has earned the annual top trip from Mary Kay every year but one since 1987. That is 27 years of dream vacations, traveling to the most beautiful places on planet Earth. These trips were life-changing, she said, because we were traveling with the most positive, on-purpose, powerful, generous women in the world. Cindy joined Mary Kay at age 25. She broke two company records as a DIQ. She has achieved star consultant over 100 quarters and has driven 17 pink Cadillacs. She is a million-dollar director three times and has been queen of the Pearl Seminar twice and Inner Circle six times. Her first offspring is National Sales Director Tammy Zavala of Tuscan, Arizona. She's over $6 million earned in commissions. Please welcome Cindy Williams.
Well, thank you, and congratulations on you being a new sales director.
Thank you so much.
And I can't wait to be in your beautiful home country. We're going to London as NSDs. And all the sales directors are going next year, so it'll be very, very exciting for all of us to be there. And Cindy, it's just a joy to have you as a friend and to see how far we've come. Oh my God, thinking back to us in the room when we were, I think I was 27, I think it was 27. How old were you? I don't know if she's muted out. Can y'all hear me? Yes.
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you fine. I was muted out, Cindy. I was 23.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just kids. We were babies. But, you know, somehow by the grace of God, we got there, I think.
That's right.
And then I remember, though, really, I didn't really want to be there. I want to go back to that place because everything that leads up to the top trips, to the millions, to who we are today is, you know, confident women. Like right now, I've got my date book in my hand from 1982-83 because I pulled out the things and I looked through it to remember, you know, where we came from, because it's so easy to talk from the mountaintops when things are going great. But it's really what you learn. I call it at the foot of the cross. It's what you learn in the places where you're broken. And all of a sudden, you decide you have a choice. And sometimes it's the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change, and you change. And I think back to what a hot mess I was as a young woman and as a young consultant and as a young director. But somehow, you know, by the grace of God, I talk about grace and grit. It's by His grace that we have everything that we have, even the desire that we have in our gut. You know, He gives us that grace. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But somehow, you know, God graces us with His favor, but He gives us free will. And there's where the grit comes in. You know, it's grace and grit. And that grit comes in when you just reach down inside of yourself and you have this amazing opportunity that's unparalleled, unequaled, you know, unlimited. And you have to decide, you know, to put those two things together, that grace and that grit. And I remember back when, oh goodness, you know, what it took to get there, you know, those of you that are going to mentor people to be DIQs and to be sales directors. You know, that's a part of this journey to grow people. And part of it is, you know, to grow our unit size is so critical. For this top director trip, unit size matters. It really is vital. And I think sometimes about even like a church, you know, we usually churches start off in a home, like they have somebody has a dream to be a pastor. And they start off, you know, maybe with a little Bible study group, and then they are in a home, and then sometimes they go into they rent a little space, and then they build a church. But if you think about a church, if the church was just a few people, could it survive? And I think we have to raise the bar on unit size goals. Really, 100 people church is still small. 300 people. I think we could have lots more people in our organization if we start lifting the cap on what's possible and what's probable. And I think from the beginning, I was focused on building my unit size. And the numbers matter. Mary Kay gives us tracks to go on, you know, 10 and we're in as a DIQ, and then when we get to 24 to become a sales director, and Mary Kay teaches us, you know, fabulous 50s is right out of the gate. You want to focus on 50 and then 75 and 100, but really 200 and 300. So I wanted to plant that seed in the very beginning of this call to increase your dream, your possibility of building a bigger unit, because it's really no more work. It's really less work and less stress. So just why not put that up on your goal poster to be at 300 unit members. I was at 300 unit members for so long in my business, and that just propelled me to those top unit clubs. So just put that as a thought to grow your size of your unit. And that is not only doable, but it's probable. It's what, you know, Mary Kay did. She started off with 9 consultants her very first year, and they grew to 200. She recruited her 9 best friends, whoever those people were. We know one of them was Daylene White. Where are the other 8? We don't know. We just know of Daylene. So not even Mary Kay's hand-selected ones stayed with her, but they stayed with her long enough to grow her unit size to 200 that first year. So I think that can be, we look at Mary Kay as our foundation for what we're going to, you know, build our business by, and she did that in her first year. So I think we can raise the bar. I mean, I certainly didn't do that, but I wasn't thinking to do that. I think as a man thinketh, so he is. And so start raising our bar on that unit size goal, because that really will make a ton of difference. And one of my favorite quotes, I actually said it at the summit last year. I appreciate Cindy, you talking about the NSD summit that we choose to go to every single year to grow and, you know, to be like-minded. And I trained last year, and this was what I started it with, because this just speaks to me. It says, success is neither magical or mysterious. Success is the natural consequence of consistently applying basic fundamentals. Some things you have to do every day, eating 7 apples on Saturday night instead of 1 a day, just isn't going to get the job done. Success is nothing more than a few simple disciplines practiced every day, while failure is simply a few errors in judgment repeated every day. It's the accumulated weight of our disciplines and our judgment that lead us to either fortune or failure. And I think, oh my gosh, it's so true. And I'm looking back at my original notes from when I was a brand new consultant, and I wrote down, these are in my handwriting on the paper I've saved all these years, attitude is 99.9% of your success. Number one, associate with positive people. The Bible teaches that we become like the people we associate with. Make a list of the 10 people you associate with the most. Go back to the list. Think of the ones that make you feel yucky and put a minus sign by their name. And the ones that make you feel okay, put an equal sign. And the ones that make you feel great and powerful, put a plus sign. And I think, oh my goodness, these top trips were the biggest plus signs in my life. And I listened to the other teachers and what they're saying. Kathy Goff did such an amazing job last week, that they were life-changing. And I wanted them so badly that, just like Kathy said, I was willing to do whatever it took to go on that trip. And so what does that look like to you? It's just growing your organization. But to grow your organization, we first have to grow ourselves. And I think that, you know, words do have a life, and we, all of us on this call, really do find our source of wisdom and strength from the Word of God. And Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of our tongue. And so we may be in a difficult time, but we want to use our words to show what we want to happen, not what's really happened. We don't want to use the words to describe the situation. We want to use the words to change the situation. And I love the I Declare book and the positive message that it gives to us, because we want to declare victory every day in our health, declare favor, and declare abundance. You give your life, you know, energy when you say great things. You know, I have favor. I can do all things through Christ. I'm blessed. I'm strong. I'm happy. I say all the time, only great things happen to me. Everything I touch turns to gold. I always get a parking spot up front. I'm the luckiest person I've ever met. I say that all the time. Now, do you really think that's true? I'm just as lucky as you are, but because I say it all the time, I think I bring that into my life. I think it does. I think I speak favor upon myself. And so use your words in the direction that you want your life to go, okay? It says in the word, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. It does not say, let the weak talk about their weaknesses. Let the weak call their five friends and discuss their weaknesses. Let the weak complain about their weaknesses. No, it says, in effect, let the weak say exactly opposite to how they feel. So I just wanted to start off by just sharing with us that truly it is 99% of our success is our attitude. But there has to come a balance with that. We put that action, that belief into action, because faith without action is dead. So that dance between grace and grit, that dance between a positive attitude and a great work ethic. And I do think loving what we do is one of the greatest gifts of the world. In Ecclesiastes 2:24, it says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. I love that scripture. This, too, I see as a gift from the hand of God. For without him, she can eat. Who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth. And so there's nothing better that we can do than to love what we do and to find satisfaction in our work. I used to think I was doing Mary Kay and it was just serving myself. And I really wondered if I was really serving God. And I got in a confused state of mind because I love the win and I love the recognition and the feeling of acceptance so much. But I had such a blessing because I totally was walked through that, through peers, you know, people that I trusted to guide me, through counsel, through Mary Kay, amazing friends, and then also seeking the word. And today I know that the greatest gift I can give to God is to love myself and love my life, because when I love me, I love him because he created me. So just to be in constant working on, you know, having the courage and the strength. I love Psalms 31:24 that says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. So when we're going to be brave, and that's a choice, it's not, I don't think it's natural to be brave and to be courageous. I think it's really more natural to cower back and to take the path of least resistance. So I've got to really be on purpose. I've got to have my goals up. I've got to start thinking about who I'm becoming in the process. Because through that is how we influence people. And what is leadership, you guys? We talk about the top trips and how do we get there. We get there because we're leading other people to a better place, okay? And that is called, that's influence. And so to increase our influence on people, then we have to increase our influence on ourselves. And if you have a unit, I've always been really strong in personal selling. You know, I've been a Star Consultant over 100 quarters. I placed a big order night before last. I just love Mary Kay. I love my products. I was at my sister's house last night. I didn't feel 100% this weekend, but I went over there and watched the Saints game with her. They're big Saints fans. And they had a couple of friends over. And I don't know how to not talk about the products, you guys. Even in a casual social setting like that, I was sharing with the women as I got up close and personal, talking to them, you know, tell me a little bit about you. And I was my brain automatically looks at their skin and thinks, how can I serve them? Not how can I sell them. As an Inner Circle National, you know, making $40,000 a month, I don't need to sell any Mary Kay. But I want to serve people, okay? And so serving is selling. So I take that desire to be better, to go on the trips, and it has to go back down to day-to-day choices of that one person in front of you to serve her. And one of the root words from the word sell, S-A-L-E, comes from the root word sele. And one of its meanings is to give. And I loved when I learned that because it makes me understand why I love selling so much, because I'm giving away. I'm giving myself away. I feel like I'm giving you a 10-carat diamond when I give you me. I'm like genie in the bottle. I pop out of the cleanser every time you open it. I am a part of it. I am the Mary Kay that you're buying from me, and I want you to use it to get benefits from it and to be blessed by it for the rest of your life, as I have been. I love my product, and so I'm giving myself away. When I'm training that consultant, I'm giving her all of me. I want to set her up for success. I want her to have inventory because I know she needs it, not because I want to go win the next bonus. It's a win-win. When she wins, I win. But I've got to really believe it's a win-win or it goes against my grain. If I'm fighting, you know, my spirit man all the time because I think I'm taking, then it doesn't work. But if I truly know that I'm giving myself away, it makes your whole job effortless because, well, not effortless, because it takes a lot of energy to give yourself away. Let me go back. To serve people takes more energy than anything on the planet. And so I've got to be shored up, prayed up, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally fit to be a woman of influence, to give myself away. But when I think of Mary Kay, Mary Kay asked the woman, I think of how she served me, that how much she sacrificed in her own personal life to start our company. You know, if we go back and think of her words, when I start my skincare classes, when you look at your little beauty book, which is what most people are using now, instead of a flip chart, that's the tool we have today. You know, the second page, there shows a picture of Mary Kay Ash. And when I see that picture, it reminds me to tell Mary Kay's story, not just to tell my story. You know, we talk about the four-point recruiting plan and give a heartfelt message during your skincare classes. But, you know, Mary Kay's story was so powerful. And I say, this is Mary Kay Ash, and she's a founder of our company. And the reason she started our company was she wanted to give women a chance. A chance she was never given herself, a chance to have an unparalleled career opportunity where they could do and be anything they wanted with two platforms of the golden rule, to do unto others as they would have them do unto them, and to keep God first, family second, career third. She wanted that so badly. And because when she was 27 years old, she was a single mom. She didn't plan it. She had three babies right out of high school, got married to the man that she loved, and had three babies. She couldn't even drive a car, and he left her with three little babies. And she didn't want to go home to her mother and be a burden on her mom, because her mom had a really tough life. And so she had to figure it out. She had to be a find a way, make a way woman, so that she could keep her eyes on God, her arms around her kids, but support her family. She wanted them to have a better school, a better neighborhood, a better way of life, a better hope for the future. So what could she do and still take care of her kids? And she got into sales. She learned that she could be a work from home mother in the early days with those three babies. And that grew her into leadership position, where she trained and taught other salespeople. For 25 years, she devoted her life to this company. And she watched people, men, be promoted over her because she was a woman. They would say to her, the executives, Mary Kay, you're just thinking like a woman. She was never paid what she was worth. And when she moved, she had to give all of her people up that she had built. They had territories and things that were so unfair. And finally, they were so unfair to her that one day she said, I can't stay here anymore if you don't change. And she walked away. She quit. And she cried all night. She prayed they would call her back, but they never called her back. After she gave 25 years, they didn't call her back. So she was thought, oh, my gosh, she was so sad. And she sat down, and she took a legal pad. She wrote down all the things, the good things the company had done, the companies had done, and all the things that were unfair on the other side of the paper. She was going to write a book to help women, because she had, God had put in Mary Kay's heart a passion to help women have a better life than she had had. And she looked at the paper, and she thought, man, somebody should make a company with all the good things here and none of the bad. And then I think she was enlightened, and God said, why not you, Mary Kay? Why don't you do it? And she thought, me? You know, I don't know how. But she said, why not me? So she came up with the marketing plan before she even had our product, before she had our company. And then her boys who had seen their mama, she had two boys and a daughter, her three kids had seen their mama sacrifice and be a woman that could figure it out and support them. They said, we'll help you, Mom. And she started her company September the 13th, 1963, with just a prayer that this could work. She recruited nine girlfriends, and they started Mary Kay Cosmetics. And today we're in 37 countries around the world. We're in the top 10 cosmetic companies on the whole planet Earth. And so today I want you to sit back and relax. I'm going to tell you about this product. I'm going to take you on the most amazing skincare journey, pampering journey. So roll your shoulders back, take a deep breath, and let me expose you to the company and to the product I love with all of my heart that I've devoted 33 years of my life to this amazing company. So when we tell the Mary Kay story, that enrolls people, that influences them, that helps them buy in and you buy in. So influence is the word to write down. You are a woman of influence. That's what leadership is. To know we're a good leader, we just look around and say, is somebody following us? And if they're not, then why not? If we have great sales in our unit, but we're not recruiting, we're not doing enough interviews. Okay, that's just all there is to it. So start counting and tracking. A track number grows. If we have a big unit and no offsprings, we want to develop more inspirational and more help them to have more people skills so that we're not just selling the product but also inspiring other people to do what we've done. And I think the very greatest training that you can give to your new consultants is let them watch you work. I definitely have always done new consultant orientation. But the very best training is a skincare class, you guys. And I always did so many that the local people could watch me. And then when I traveled to work with new consultants, I would do parties with them because I don't know what I didn't know what else to do. I used to laugh at myself and think, oh, my gosh, I can't wait till I get to the next position, whatever that was, senior director, or go on the trip, or, you know, do million or become a national. Because then I'm going to learn those things that those other people teach, and I'm going to sound so good on stage. But guess what? I never learned it. I only still know how to do is take a stranger, make her a friend, build trust and relationship with her so that she listens to me and she buys my product. And then she shares my product with her friends because she shares me. She trusts me. And then maybe she wants to do what I do. And then I show her how to do what I've done. And then you just repeat the cycle again. It's really so simple. So the good news is the business is simple. The other good news, I guess, is you will never quit growing and developing into all God created you to be through this never-ending journey called leadership. But when I would travel to out of town with my new consultants, we would do at least two or three parties with that new consultant so that she would see me work over and over. And many times the only customers she had or would ever get would be the ones she got when I was there with her. But that kept her in my unit her whole life. If you have 10 good customers, you can't get out of Mary Kay. They love the product. And so over time, you build up this residual income for yourself and this unit base that grows because you don't lose your people because they actually have some customers. And then when you have enough people in that out-of-town unit that you can start doing a little sales meeting so they all can come. But the new people still need to watch the party, whether it's yours or her recruiter. And so it just always, you know, kept my job simple. One of the things that I was always really focused on was to make sure they knew how to set themselves up for success, the mechanics of it. Like you get a skincare, I mean, you get your starter kit, but you can figure it out, and some do all by themselves, but most need a lot of coaching. Mentorship is everything. And so to show them how to make it work efficiently, like I can't see the print on the foundation tube, so I have a label maker, something as simple as that. That I can put, you know, M for matte, beige 3 or something. I can put it in big bold print, or L for luminous so I can see it. But I literally think taking our starter kits and showing people how we set up, because we all do it a little bit different based upon what we like and our style, but that strong opening of that skincare class, that strong closing, making it so simple and so fun they can do it in their sleep. All of a sudden, this is a fun business, and it goes back to that the basics of, you know, how do you grow this big unit that takes you on the trip? First, you become a master consultant. You really study and you learn it, and you really only have to learn it once. And because the products change, but the presentation really doesn't change that much, you master it, and then you become a master teacher with your people, and then you're exposed to enough people that you find the ones that have some courage, some entrepreneurial spirit, because I know that when you own your own business, you're living the American dream. I mean, there's nothing better than being your own boss and working from your home. I'm in my house right now. How precious and powerful. My sister's husband has to leave his house every morning before 5 a.m. I mean, that is a that's a busy early day, and he's been there 27 years, day in, day out. And so I'm just going to walk you through a little bit about my history so that you can kind of see how this evolved in my brain. But I joined in December of 81, a hot mess, no cosmetics experience, couldn't even talk in front of one person, didn't have any nice clothes. Some of you know my story, but my mom was married 7 times. Out of the colorful childhood, I always say colorful because I'm not a victim of it. It's just the way it was. But I never went to the same school 2 years ago in my life. I changed school 6 times in the first grade. And then I changed in the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. Finally, in the seventh grade was the greatest year of my life. I went to a little bitty school, and there was a basketball coach there. It was only 9 girls and 2 boys in this class, of my seventh grade class. But I was tall. And this guy looked at me, Coach Poole, and said, "You're a basketball player." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not a basketball player. I can't even walk and talk at the same time." And he said, "Oh, yes, you are." And he grabbed me, and he put a suit on me, a basketball suit, and he took me to that gym and started throwing me this heavy white ball. They called it a medicine ball, and he made a player. And that was my first experience with the power of a mentor, somebody that believed in me, because I was weak and untalented, and he made me strong and talented. And I begged my mom, my eighth grade year, of course, we were moving again, to please let me stay still. And I lived with my grandparents, and I went to school seventh and eighth grade 2 years in a row, and I played basketball my seventh and eighth grade year, and it changed my whole life. That one man, Coach Poole, gave me confidence. And I was not talented. Just let me be clear. I just was tall. But because I wanted to please my coach so much, and because he believed in me, I rose up to be someone that I wasn't. Your leadership in people's life will change their life. And I love what Heidi Gelser says. Whose success is tied to your dream? Whose success is tied to your dream? And when you want the trip, as badly as all of us that have been on this call wanted that trip, you will go and do the things you would have never done. You will talk to the person. You will follow up. You will follow through. You will give whatever it takes to reach the goal, and then other people will be blessed because of your courage and your commitment. You'll be exposing those people to you, and that can change their life. And then in 19, then I grew up, and blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go through my whole life story, but that was a huge turning point in my life. And then I joined Mary Kay in 81, still a hot mess, no confidence, not a pretty girl, never had a date in high school. But when I found Mary Kay, I will tell you, it was like I walked into a safe house. I felt accepted. So do you have an environment of acceptance so you can influence your people? Jackie Swank was my senior national sales director, is my national today, but my director at the time. And I just remember feeling loved and accepted. Remember, I saved a card forever that she wrote, "I'm so proud you're mine." I wanted to belong. I had a real need, probably based on some of my childhood, but to belong and to be accepted. So they didn't tell me I didn't dress right. I think sometimes I wanted to look the part, but I just didn't know how. So be careful. A fragile young consultant can be wounded if she's not dressed right. And I was an eagle, but I was a very wounded eagle. So I was so fragile in the beginning, but I'm so grateful that I had, you know, soft hands that encouraged me in the beginning. And then in December of 82, I was a happy consultant. I still didn't want to be a sales director. I was too afraid of ever thinking, couldn't even say that word, but went to a workshop, and another sales director kind of ruffled my feathers, my eagle feathers, and she asked me when I wanted to be a director, and I told her I didn't want to be one. I loved being a consultant. She said, "Well, I'm not going to waste my time talking to you, honey. I'm going to go talk to somebody with the goal." And she said, "By the way, you don't even have enough recruits to be a director, so how would you know it anyway? You should just get there and then figure it out." And I went, oh, my God, it made me so frustrated. And I went home and got my first gold medal in February of 83. And then I went to Dallas for training with Cindy Ivy Fox, and that changed my whole life again. Exposure, write down exposure. You can't afford to sit at home. You've got to get out of your house and go be around the people. You never know who's going to be the one that totally gives you a paradigm shift. And for me, it was a corporate staff member that talked about a family, because I was a hot mess, and I knew if I wanted to raise healthy, happy, confident kids, I better give them a healthy, happy, confident mama. And his message was so powerful to me. I sobbed through his whole talk, And they announced if you broke a company record, you could have anybody come from the staff to speak at your debut. I did not want to be a director, you guys, but I wanted that man to come to meet my husband so badly. I would have moved heaven and earth because I thought it would change my marriage and change my life. So I left Dallas with, I think we needed 8 or 10 to go to that training at the time. And 3 months later, we had 56. I broke 2 company records. That's the power of influence with the little girl with the goal. I was still a hot mess. I still didn't dress right. My face was, you know, I wore burnt orange foundation. My neck was snow white. I bit my nails down into the click. I didn't wear lipstick. I didn't have pierced ears. I didn't wear any jewelry. I was just, but I was a worker bee. And I wanted success more than I wanted oxygen. I wanted that guy to come to my house. And so I broke these 2 company records, not when I wasn't even going to take the position of directorship because I didn't think I was worthy of it, but I was willing to do whatever it took to get there. And from that, of course, by the time you do what it takes, you're ready. The rest is kind of history. I did become a sales director, and my husband got really, really sick right out of the gate, and we spent the next several years on the ranch in the middle of Texas. I left my family, my business, everything. We did 400,000 my first year as a director purely off the momentum of breaking a company record. And then in 85 and 86, I didn't do any unit club at all, 0-0. And then in 87, we won the trip. And so, and then every year after that, 6 years, the top director trip. And then, you know, how do you do that? You just get your unit size. I just was like on a mission. I went from being a record-breaking DIQ, earning the Cadillac right out of the gates, doing 400,000 the first year as a director, zero club, dropped from the Cadillac to the Grand Achiever car, lived on the ranch in the middle of nowhere. It was a crazy season of my life, but I never lost faith in the company, and I really didn't lose faith in myself, my willingness to get it back. And so in I had another baby in that season. We moved into our house in Kerrville, Texas in January, I think of 85. I had a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old, and I didn't know anyone there. I didn't have any customers, but I went to work. I built 100 rock-solid customers in just a couple of months, and in 3 months, we went from January having a Grand Achiever. In March, we had earned the Premier Club, and by June, we were back in a Cadillac. So from zero to hero. So anyone on this call, I owed the company money in January of that year, where I had more production going back than I had going in, and I had less than 30 unit members. I was sucking air. By the grace of God, I still had hung on to my unit. But in 3 months, Premier Club, that means all that production in 3 months, not 6 months, from nothing in January. So never underestimate the power of a woman with a mission, what you can do when you just go see the people. Like Cindy said, you just go smile at people. If they smile back, they get a booking. They get the prize. And then June, we were back in our Cadillac. It doesn't take long. And then to maintain, to be at the top is pretty simple. I mean, getting there takes a lot of effort, but maintaining is pretty simple. And then that's how we went on to do the top trip that very next year. It was to Hong Kong. And then the next 6 years, we were in the top director trip. I never even set the goal for the extended trip. It shows you get exactly what you expect, so I hope you start expecting more. And then in 1993, my boys were 14 and 9, and I found out I was pregnant with Carl Andrew, which was a big surprise. It was a wonderful surprise, a welcome surprise, but it was a surprise. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? I do not want to lose my trips. They were oxygen for my body. I loved the trips. I loved who I was becoming because the association with the women like Kathy and Cindy and all those top trip directors, and I did not want to give that up. But I also knew I wanted to nurse my baby for 6 months and hold him and be still. And so my little brain shifted to, okay, Cindy Williams, if you double time for 6 months while you're pregnant and you double your unit size, then you can half time for 6 months and it'll go back to the same size and you won't miss the trip. I love the way I thought because that's very interesting. Some people slow down when they're pregnant. But I was 3 months pregnant before I knew I was pregnant. So 6 months before the big D-Day delivery day was coming. And I got busy. I was obsessed. I was just obsessed with this goal of doubling my unit size. And I promise you, I hit the mark, and the doctor said, push. I hit that mark. I doubled my unit size. And then for the next 6 months, I did nurse that baby. I did stay home. But guess what happened? Momentum is magic. The momentum we created by doubling our unit size put us into the extended trip the next year. I didn't mean to do that. But we went on the extended trip, and then, oh, my gosh, that put me – I was the number one director at my career conference for the first time in my life when Carlander was just like 2 months old. It just started changing everything, exposing me to a bigger and better place. And then once you hit the extended trip, it was just common sense to set the goal for million. And then we hit million in 97 and 98, 99, and then we debuted as an NSD in the year 2000. So I think my greatest message for you is to increase your unit size. Back that up by realizing that being a master consultant will make you a master director. Back that up that 99.99% of your success is going to be your attitude. And back that up with knowing the people you associate with are going to totally change you. So eliminate the people in your life that suck the energy out of you, if at all possible, if they're family members, just don't see them any more than you have to. And then surround yourself with the people that make you better, because you were created for greatness. You know, it's a lie that you have to live in any kind of mediocrity. You know, think of Gerald Coffey. He's that lieutenant that served 7 years in a concentration camp in Vietnam. And every day in his mind, he played golf. Every single day, he went through the whole process of hitting the ball. He saw the ball go every day. And when he got out of 7 years of concentration camp, he shot a 74 golf game because he never quit thinking about doing it. So your mind controls everything. So when we can control our mind, and we know that we can because, you know, I think our mind is controlled by our spirit, and I think the Holy Spirit that lives with us is sending us the good signals. But we listen to the world, or we listen to the inadequacies and their lies. You know, you are the child of the King. You were created for communion. I think we're created for communion. I am an extrovert. Cindy talked about she's an introvert. But no matter what your personality, you were created to make a difference. I think, what did God leave us? He left us his word, his Holy Spirit, and each other. That's all there is. Tag, you're it. You were created to influence people, and you are influencing them in a positive way or in a negative way. So you might as well make it a positive way. I want to close out with just these are cornerstones of entrepreneurialism. Number one, love what you do. You will be good at it, and you will then be successful. Number two, get out of the clouds. Be realistic and know it takes both organization and creativity, both gambles and risk-taking, both conservation and practicality. Number three, focus less on making money and more on the journey. Burn no bridges and stay on the high road. Greed can only be a short-term fix, but will ruin your long-term. Number four, surround yourself with excellent people. Ask for help. Seek mentors. Remain humble and be a mentor. Number five, work hard and then go a step further. Success is never glamorous. Pay as much attention to the CEO as to the janitor. Make no one invisible. Everyone makes a contribution. Treat everyone well. Number six, relationships and resources are the DNA of any entrepreneurial initiative. Number seven, give to get. Be a servant leader. It's an integral part of any successful business. Number eight, own it. Do not build it and hope they come. Meet a need and they will fill the order. Number nine, do it well. And number 10, faith and family are essential. At the end of the day, be fierce about two things that you can never be restored, your good name and your good deeds. If you can imagine it, you can achieve it. And if you can dream it, you can become it. And you will change the world through this amazing thing called Mary Kay. So thank you for inviting me into the London Calling, and I hope this is your year to go with us to these life-changing trips.
Yay. Thank you, Cindy. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yay. Wow. I'm just right. You talk faster than I write, like so many. I'm going to have to hear the playback on this so many times. Do you remember Houston Leadership? Oh, gosh. Was it 2005 that David Hall opened it up and let future directors and above come with us to leadership.
Mm-hmm.
You remember, I think, and
mm-hmm.
I followed you teaching. You were teaching Kathy Bell,
yep.
I think, yeah, and you, and then me, and my introvertedness and my C-ness coming out, thinking, oh my gosh, I have to follow these giant people here. But you talked about something that I want you to share, and that is how you go out to make a friend every day, because you mentioned that in your talk today, how your objective is just, I want to go out and make a friend, and that you carry goodie bags Is that what you call them, goodie bags?
Mm-hmm.
And with a sample and your business card and whatever, and what you say, because I know people like me that are introverted, what you say is so, you know, laid back and easy, a soft approach, you know what I'm saying? And so tell everybody how you do that.
Well, the first thing I would do is if you go in your concordance and you look up the word gift, mm-hmm. and read all the scripture about gifts, because it says, one of them is, the gift will usher you into the presence of the King.
Right.
And it says, you know, those who give gifts are received well. And so I think the gift has always been a part of making me like doing it. I like I said before, when I think about the word selling, it's to give, and that's what I like to do. And I think of giving myself away, it's caring enough to share. When I'm being selfish, I don't do it. It's the opposite of what people think. When I'm being selfless, I go and I connect. It's the word connect. I think some people go collect names. I go connect with people. It's not just collecting names. You can get that in a phone booth, I mean a phone book. You want to connect. So I listen. I look into their eyes. I pay attention. I notice what they're doing. And the gifts that I keep in my purse, and all it is just a little bag with hand creams and lip glosses and a couple of color cards or skincare samples. It's whatever I've got. I don't even bundle them up or put them in a little bag. I just have a collection because I think it's helpful if people have to choose. They linger a little longer. Like I may say to you, Cindy, you know, I'd love to give you a gift. I have hand cream, skincare, fragrance, and color, Mary Kay gifts. Which would you prefer to have? And you may not even want one at all, but you want hand cream more than you want perfume. So you'll say, oh, I think hand cream. And then I would say, oh, I've got peach and unscented. Which one? I like to keep asking them to choose because that helps them linger longer and I build more trust. The longer that person can be in front of you, the more trust you build with her and the more likely she is to keep an appointment, because your goal isn't just to get a name and number. Your goal is to connect hard enough that you have an appointment with them. And so caring enough to share, being in a mode of serving and having enough energy to give yourself away, and thinking that you're giving a gift. I always think I'm giving a 10-carat diamond. I'm not getting a name. I'm giving myself away. I'm not getting their money when I make a sale. I'm giving them my leadership and mentoring. I'm not getting a new recruit or a new offspring director. So the word give, you replace that with get. I mean, you replace get with give, and it changes your mentality about it. But I am real comfortable with it. It's almost just second nature. It's just like I look at people through Christ's eyes, and I see them. You know, like in that movie Avatar, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
You really
mm-hmm.
see them.
Right.
And sometimes I even say, like if somebody's checking me out and she's maybe young and she's really good at her job, I may say, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's a soft. It's not like, what are you doing in this stupid job? I just gently look at her and I say, what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, what's your dream? And that opens the door. And then usually they'll share with you. Like I asked the girl at Subway, I was in Dallas a couple weeks ago, and it was funny because there was a guy, I was in a really big hurry. I was going to go do a meeting. And there was a guy in front of me, and then he got finished and he walked out the door. So it was just me and this one Subway girl. So she started putting together the sandwich. And I said, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And she said, a sandwich artist. And we both burst into laughing because that was not what she wanted to be. It was just very funny. But I loved her quick humor and wit. And mm-hmm. then she looked at me. She says, well, really? She says, I took this job 2 years ago because my husband left me, and I'd been a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. And one of my friends was a manager at Subway and said, I'll give you a job, and I needed something immediately. And she says, after a week, they made me a manager, and now I've been here for since. She says, but it's not my dream. And I reached my hand over to her, and I held her, and I squeezed her, and I said, well, maybe we were meant to meet. I said, I'm with Mary Kay, and I get to work from home. And the kind of woman you are, that you would be a find a wake, you'd take any job to support your kid. You're not too proud or humble to do whatever it takes. And then they promoted you to management right away. You're who I pray to work with every day of my life. I'd love to get your name and number. But that's an example of how it's so easy for me to connect, Cindy, because I'm listening. Mm-hmm. I'm not just getting a name. I'm listening to her. I hear her. Sometimes it's about skin. I was at the pool, a few weeks ago, and there was a woman sitting at the swim, it was like a swim up bar or something at this pool. And I started talking with her, and she has rosacea. Her little cheeks were really flushed. And I said, you know, I said, and I had my CC cream on and just mascara, barely any makeup. But I said to her, I said, I've got a product. And we were just talking. We weren't even talking about Mary Kate, but I just said, I wonder what her name was now. I said, oh, I do remember her name because I sold her a bunch of product. Hold on. I'll tell you. Liz. Her name was Liz. And so I said, I've got this product called CC cream I think you would totally love. It has a great SPF. And I said, it's real sheer. It gives you a sunscreen. It feels good, but it's not like sunscreen. It smells good. And she said, oh, my gosh. She said, I'd love to have this. So sitting there with her without eating any product, I sold her, I'm looking at her sales tickets, I can tell you, $169. She bought the Miracle Sex. I told her that it was just, it had been tested to work with people with rosacea. It wouldn't get rid of it, but it would certainly not hurt it. CC cream. She bought exactly my lipstick, lip gloss, neutral lip liner, hot tamale lip gloss, icy peach lipstick, classic blonde eyebrow pencil, CC cream, and a Miracle set. Okay? That's just an example of how I don't, how not to connect to people. Even if I'm in a pool, not thinking Mary Kay, reading my book, all by myself there, and this woman I met, it's just so natural for me to give myself away. I was serving her. I wanted to help her. And I pay attention. I think it's my assignment.
Right.
I was created for communion, and Mary Kay's the vehicle that I chose to take, that I've been given. And I used to say, I don't care. I think God cares if I'm a janitor or a CEO. He just wants me to love him and love people. I mean, somebody said, how in the world do you get a pink Cadillac? I always say, I love God and I love people, and I go to work. I love God, I love people, and I go to work. Mm-hmm. So if we love God enough to love a lot of people, and we go to work with this product and this company, it's natural. But I will tell you, when I'm wounded, I'm tired, I'm physically, mentally, spiritually, you know, emotionally, financially wounded, then I'm not as giving, because we recluse, we become cocoonish.
Right.
And I love what Kathy said. Oh, I wish I had it in front of me, because when we go back into ourselves, that's when we get scared. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good. Do you know what I'm talking about? She quoted
yes.
some lady. Oh, so true. So you've got to stay in motion. Motion is lotion. And stay working on being positive and powerful so that you will give yourself away. But giving myself away is, to me, the easiest part of my job.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that motion is lotion. You made everybody get up and move around before you started talking, which I thought was really powerful. And all the directors that are doing a sales meeting tonight, you need to remember that. And, you know, I still have people get up and either we sing or do a back rub, the shoulder rub, you know, turn to the right, rub the shoulders, whatever, because motion is lotion, gets everybody woke up. But you said about what, just in along that same train of thought, you said at leadership that year that it's about where the spotlight is. That's, and you put your hand up, you know, to your forehead like you were holding a light, you know, focus, like a big flashlight or something, or a spotlight. And you said the trick is to take the spotlight off yourself, and you had your hand, you know, pointing at yourself. And when you're cocooning, you're putting the spotlight on mm-hmm. you. It's mm-hmm. all about me, you know, and my bad day, my insecurities, my whatever, my woundedness. And it's about putting the spotlight on them, on whoever God has put in front of you at the moment, whether it's, you know, a prospective customer or a new team member, your unit member, whatever, putting the spotlight and giving yourself away, just being willing to die to yourself, as you said
mm-hmm.
in your talk today. That's really what it's all about. But I loved your example that day, and I've used it, bukus. I can't even tell you how many times that I've used it, and I've always given credit to you about it's about where you put that spotlight, and I'll use my hands because that was such a great visual aid. But you brought us back today to what Mary Kay, I know Mary Kay is smiling in heaven right now, listening to this, watching and looking down on you as you do this call, because nothing happens until somebody sells something. You brought us back to that focal point. Nothing happens. And it is, you know, unit size and all those things, and having goals and who you associate with, and using the right words to, you know, create your future rather than, you know, than to complain about your experience or your past or your present, but to, you know, describe your future and create it. It is all those things, but nothing happens until we sell something. And you are a fantastic person at that, a fantastic salesperson. Do you know that I even learned from you to tie a purple ribbon around my roll-up bags that have the purple miracle set, the combination oily set, or a pink ribbon, you know, so that it's like when I saw that on a video that you did, I thought, oh my gosh, how great is that? Because how much time, and I was getting, you know, older, and it was harder to read the fine print or even to see if it's a purple or a pink swoosh unless you're in a brightly lit room. But putting that ribbon on there, Cindy Williams, I can't tell you how much you have empowered me and empowered my business. I don't want to hog all the time. What other nationals are listening to this great call today and our featured speaker, and you have something to say? You have to star six to unmute yourself. They're trying to get unmuted, Cindy.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, this is Dawn Otten Sweeney.
There she is. Yes, Dawn.
Hey,
go
Dawn.
Ahead. Hey, Cindy. I am sitting here listening with my daughter and my husband and just loving listening to you. You were my second top director, future national, after Debbie that I ever met. And you know it's your cousin who adopted me, and it's you've been such a role model. I mean, my first million-dollar year, I remember you calling me out of the blue and just saying, where are you at? And I'm like, well, you know, we've done our best. It's, you know, wherever it ends up. And you shared with me. At that time, we didn't have Voxer or Facebook or even, I don't think, email. And so you recommended that I make a CD and mail it out to every single person in my unit in June to give them an opportunity to be part of the win. And that's probably one of the major reasons we excelled that finish line, but it was such a valuable lesson for me to that our goals aren't really just about ourselves, and I'm not a high I, and so that recognition wasn't important to me, but what I was doing is not letting my people be part of a win that they needed to be part of and should have been part of, and thank you for creating that space for me to walk into and just everything that you've been, you and your people, for me along the way, and for my family too. And so my husband's sitting here, he could definitely be the president of your
Aww.
Fan club, but he just wanted to share a couple things with you too.
Aww.
Good morning, Cindy.
Larry.
How are you, dear?
Grand.
Hey, I walked in from my morning appointments today, and I said, that voice is very familiar, but I just wanted to add, as I listened to you, you know, you were the first Mary Kay lady I ever heard speak. It was in Sierra Vista. And I was a rookie Border Patrol agent in 1987.
Wow.
We were young then. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but you cast a vision and a thing that was life-changing for Dawn and I, and I just wanted to tell you to keep up the great work, and God bless you, and just keep going, girl, because it was definitely one of the most impacting things that I'd ever been to, and, you know, that's the night I got on board. Not that I wasn't already, but It's definitely impacted the lives, our lives, our children's lives, and even, you know, Allie's soon-to-be husband is just,
wow.
You know, he comes to seminar every year, and I'm sure he's going to go out in the world of professional athletics that he aspires to get into and you know, preach the Mary Kay word. So thank you so much, girl, and keep it going. Keep it going. God bless you.
I love you guys. I love
All
you,
right,
Larry
dear.
And Dawn.
I'll let somebody else say something pertinent, but we'll see you soon, dear. All righty. Bye-bye.
That was awesome, Larry and Dawn. Hi, Allie. It's Kathy Alou.
Oh,
hey,
Kathy.
Cindy Williams.
Hey, my friend.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I sat there and looked back at your notes, and honestly, I almost can't put, let's say, an exclamation point on this outstanding talk because I'm going to put a semicolon, which is what I shared at my retreat this weekend, because there's so much more to come from people who have had the privilege to listen to you this morning. You seriously sounded like Mary Kay. I thought to myself, gosh, I think Cindy Ivy Fox joined in March of 81. I joined in November of 81, and you joined in December of 81. That was a powerful
wow.
year. And oh my gosh, we are from the same school. I'm so happy that you brought it back to the party. the attitude, who you associate with. You put such a great package on this whole thing, and you're so humble. And gosh, if anybody should have been successful the way you started, with all the obstacles, with the background, but you just keep your eyes going forward. You look up to the Lord all the time. I love your blend of scripture into every basic tenet of your teaching today. It was the perfect blend of everything. I typed so many notes, honestly. And what I loved is when Cindy asked you that last question about how do you go out and warm book, and your whole concept of giving and not getting, you know, giving and connecting with people because we are made for communion. Honestly, you are just powerful this morning, and I'm so blessed that I listened in. I've only missed one of these London calls, and that was Kathy Goff Brummett's because I was getting my hair done for my retreat. But I will listen to that on my walk today. But I just want you to know, Cindy Williams, you always make an impact. And for those of you who want to just hear, like, really seriously how she gives, we did an event together for Canada. I think it was 2 years ago in April, and I was sick as a dog. And, you know, Cindy Williams would not leave me alone. She showed up with chicken soup. She showed up with soup, another kind of soup. She showed up with drugs. She showed up with just a kind heart. She showed up just to hug me. I mean, she is a giving, selfless person all around, not just with Mary Kay. It's her DNA. And I just love you, friend, and thank you so much for blessing my people who listened in and those that didn't get the opportunity live. It will be mandatory that they listen to your call because you rocked it. Love you, Cindy Williams.
I love you more, Kathy.
Love me some Cindy Williams. Cindy, thank you for inviting her on. Oh, she was brilliant.
Good morning. This is that wonderful, wealthy Kim Walker. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, my powerful, positive friend.
How are you? Oh, my gosh. This was absolutely a blessing. I called in. I thought it was Cindy Williams, but it was Mary Kay Ash. Get excited. I tell you, it was a joy to listen to you and just to have that history. I'm telling you, you know, it just totally inspired me, and I absolutely need to connect and sell $169 to everybody I meet. I mean, you just do it so effortlessly. I just applaud and just appreciate you, and it's always a joy to be with you, and I cannot wait to travel the world with you in the inner circle and just get closer and all of that kind of stuff. But just your information this morning was so, you know, it's what you live, it's how you live, and your example is absolutely a beacon of light for all of us. And I know those listening in are truly inspired to live out their dreams and to embrace the things that you share. Because you made it sound so simple, Cindy. I mean, I'm sitting there going, okay, I really complicate all this stuff. I mean, you really just incorporate it and keep it simple and share so always. You always just pour out on everybody. And I loved when you were saying in the beginning how you talk so fast, I didn't get it down either, but you say that I am great, I've got favor. How did you say that? You know, you just speak these things on yourself and they automatically come.
Joel Osteen, he's famous for, but Mary Kay taught us that, you know, it's our positive affirmations that we have to, because you have to cancel what the world is screaming at you, really. It's not just you're naturally happy. By the way, I think when we come out of the womb, you know, we're not laughing. We're crying when we get here. So you have to, I have to make myself be happy and positive. People think it's natural. It's not natural. But by saying things over and over again all day, you sort of just trick your flesh to live in the spirit, you know, that you have favor. And
I thought it was naturally you. I mean, you did it while Joel Osteen was behind the camera. You were doing it, okay? I mean, you were.
That's right.
Okay, so yes, I love him and all that, and that's good, but you've been living this as an example. I thought it was natural. I mean, I know it's natural because, like you said, you own it and it's you, but it seems so effortless for you. And I just, you know, it's great for me to hear that about you, because I really have to work at it. It's not my personality style. And so I appreciate you sharing that. I wouldn't know that. I would never know that. I was just like, okay, Cindy, how in the world? Please give me your vitamins. But I love you, and I know there are others that want to share. And, again, I look forward to seeing you soon. Amen.
Well, I wouldn't have
I want to be powerful
either.
Like Kim.
I know, really. Ain't that the right? But those last 10 things, from the entrepreneurial something or other that you read from, like started with Love What You Do, and the last thing was Faith. And I wish you'd email me that list just whenever you
can. Okay, I will.
Because that was awesome. And you could do, I mean, I could do, and I'm sure the other nationals on this call and the directors could do a whole unit meeting, you know, on the training because, you know, really, what you said about the skincare class and being the heart of the business and letting your people see you work, you know, that, I agree, is totally the heart of what we do. And when our consultants see us do a skincare party, a skincare class from start to finish, I don't think there's anything more connecting, more cementing to help with retention, to inspire and to motivate. And then, but it's also the intrinsic things, like you said in that last 10 things. It's the inspirational, the motivational things that you said at the end, too, that once they learn the basics of the skincare party, then, you know, keeping them motivated, bringing them back to that heart of it. I would have never guessed that you have to talk yourself, you know, affirm yourself. And I tell people that you get up every day. I've heard you say you get up every day and say something great is going to happen to me today. Don't you say that?
I do. I say only great things happen to me. But if you go to scripture, it says all things work together for good for those that love the Lord, right?
That's right.
And so if we really think that, then no matter what it is, I mean, I'm human too. I think sometimes I get frustrated too because people think it is so natural when you have to work on it, okay? It's not really, really, it's really some days you just want to go to bed and it takes a lot of energy. That's my favorite word. It takes energy to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to remember that. It takes energy to serve. It's when you're giving yourself away, it takes a lot of energy, but what you cast upon comes back to you. But I do have to just trick myself or I would be sad.
Well, I would have never guessed that. But you also said 100 rock-solid customers in 3 months. Is that what you did? Your total focus to make a comeback. What would happen, you guys, and I'll leave you guys with this, and I'm sure Cindy would agree with me, is even a challenge. Starting right now, you know, this is really, you know, the first Monday in October? And so these 3 months from October, November, December to challenge yourself to establish 100 new rock-solid customers, I mean, I really think that would do trip if you just brought it back to that. What do you mean when you say a rock-solid customer? What is a rock-solid customer to Cindy Williams?
It meant that I just – what it is we're not just out counting the faces. I think we check off the marks. We do a power start. We do a perfect start. We do a contest. But we're not – rock solid means I got them on the product. I didn't just do the faces. And, yes, skincare is your focus, but some don't buy the skincare. But, by golly, maybe they bought everything else that you made or they booked a party. They told their friends, they trust me. I guess the word trust, a rock-solid customer trusts me with her skin, with her friends, with her referrals.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're doing the parties, you're connecting. That's my word, trust and connect, and that equals influence.
Mm-hmm.
So you're listening to her, just like the girl at Subway, I listen to her. The girl at the skincare class, I'm listening to her. I love the one I'm with. I'm 100% with you. I'm there. I see you. I hear you. I'm invested. And you connect back to me. It takes I block out everything else, and I just focus in on making sure those people get the best of me that night.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I mean. Rock solid means it's not all the ones that don't stay with you. Rock solid means they stayed with me. They're on my skincare. They're giving me referrals. They're hostessing parties. They're not just water running under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
The river's flowing. It's a flowing river of abundance that keeps coming back to you.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I asked that question because, I had a feeling, and I myself wondered when you said rock-solid customer, did you mean they bought the roll-up bag or even that they bought, you know, the miracle set, the ultimate miracle set or a time-wise repair set that they had to buy the skincare? But that's not it.
Mm-mm.
That's not what a rock-solid
Mm-mm.
customer is. So what was that equation again? Trust plus something equals influence. What'd you say? You said
connecting. I connect with them enough that they trust me.
And that equals
so
influence.
I can't influence them. And then they'll let me influence their friends. Here's something else I think people misunderstand. It doesn't take that many parties.
It doesn't take that many names out on the street. I see people collecting names their whole life. Like, what the heck are they doing? You don't need to collect that many names. Yes, in the beginning, 10 cards a day. Yes, I had to make stuff, go see a lot of people to connect to a few. But now I have to see a few people to connect because I connect faster. And I kind of know. I listen to my internal compass of who's goofy. There's just goofy people out there that take you on a ride. So you need to disconnect with those people fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take that much work. I think that's another thing is you get the right – I would just say before we get off the call, every person on the call, get 5 hostesses, real hostesses, that will connect you to 6 of their real friends. Now you just did 30 in a very short amount of time, and you love your job because that hostess trusts you. And it's probably somebody you already know. It probably doesn't have to be the stranger. Go get 5 rock-solid hostesses because you're in business with that hostess. I think we bypass that person. So you get her to know, like at the, I always use the example, but I'm at that Saints game yesterday at my sister's house, and one of her husband's boss's wives was there. They live in Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I never even been to Mobile, but I found it's not that far from here. And she said, oh, Mary Kay, she saw my car. I said, yeah. She said, I used to use Mary Kay years ago, and I just got away from it. And she says, have you got a catalog? I said, yeah, I have a catalog, but I said, you need to have a facial. And I said, what you really should do is be a hostess because then you get a lot of free product, and it's no fun to do a facial by yourself. It's so boring. I said, we were created for communion. You gather women around the table that are as fun as you are. I said, we'll have a little party, and that's what makes me love my job. She said, okay, I'll have a party. It was just as natural as chocolate chip cookies, but I'm not just going to mess with giving her a book. She needs a new facial. She needs to have a party. So she wants me to come to Mobile and do a party, and I will. I mean, I'll do anything. I love everything about Mary Kay. But it's the hostess, you guys. I think we missed – we don't talk about hostesses enough anymore. Those are the – we're a table experience company. Without the table, there is no experience. Jesus gathered his disciples around the table, and they broke bread together to build trust in relationships so we could influence them, right? And we gather women around the table and break open cleanser and lipstick to build trust to influence them. It's the table. Without the table, there is no experience. And I want to get into her home. I like going to the hostess's home. I know we get them to the training center. But that's the shortcut. If you get into her home, you get to see who she be, and you learn a lot more about her, and her friends are more likely to come. So it's old school, but it's a shorter path to success.
Mm. Wow. Now that was profound. Perfect place to close this call. Thank you, Cindy Williams.
Thank you so much.
I love you too. Thank you all so much. Have an amazing week. Take her challenge of 5 solid hostesses this week. This week with a focus on 100 new rock solid customers in the next 3 months. And we'll see all of you going into pink Cadillacs if you're not already and on the trip to London this year. Have a great week. Bye-bye.